97.1 FM Talk Podcast. This hour of the Annie Fry Show is sponsored by The Loading Dock, with a unique and beautiful ice skating rink to enjoy this time of year. Go to GraftonLoadingDock.com.
That is exactly what I needed to hear.
Thank God someone here knows what they're talking about.
That's us. That's right. Gotta love this American ride.
All right, you need to take the time and get the full picture.
I love the ladies. I mean, they rev my engine, but they don't belong in the newsroom. It is anchor man, not anchor lady.
What do you want from me? I'm not a married sweetheart.
Goodness sake, Kid. Keep your voice down. Your father's listening to the radio.
I'm not a married sweetheart.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
Are we going to see the same Democratic ticket in 2024?
I'm sorry, we are thinking about today. I mean, honestly, I know why you're asking the question, because this is the part of the punditry and the
right.
The gossip around places like Washington, D.C. Let me just tell you something. We're focused on the things in front of us. We're focused on what we need to do to address issues like affordable child care, what we need to do to ensure...
So there have been no conversations about 2024?
The American people sent us here to do a job. And right now, there's a lot of work to be done.
Again, she is not laughing. This is an improvement. You might have heard that and heard her sidesteps and stuff on these particular issues. But when you listen to her answer this question, she doesn't laugh. But I want to point out here at the beginning, right after the question, you can hear, you know, the interviewer asks the question of Kamala Harris about the 2024 ticket. And right when he does, she almost swallows her, you know, natural reaction, which is to laugh.
Are we going to see the same Democratic ticket in 2024?
Pause.
I'm sorry, we are thinking about today.
There it is. And she says she doesn't even acknowledge that 2024 is going to happen. Seems to me like there is probably some consternation in the White House about that question around 2024, and she's not really interested in it. Let's talk to our guest.
You're becoming like my most stable relationship.
Enough said.
Fox News contributor, often seen on Gutfeld, Tyrus joins us right now. Tyrus, welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Good to have you here.
Oh, always a pleasure. Always a pleasure.
Did you get to see much of the latest Kamala Harris interview? Have you picked up on any of that yet?
I watched about 10 seconds of it, and it was much the same.
If you've seen 10 seconds, you've seen a lot of it.
Yeah. I mean, when you can't give straight answers, it's just you only hurt yourself. You only hurt the party. You know, don't do interviews if you're not going to be able to answer basic questions. Of course, you know, 2024, you plan on running for president. That's basically why you don't work with Joe now. It's like, no, President Biden now. I mean, it's not, anyone can see it. So, you know, the whole, oh, we're just worried about now. Okay. Mm. Not even clever with the deflections, you know.
If you were advising them, and I would just really love to see that, if you were advising the Biden-Harris ticket on how to manage their time right now in the midst of a pandemic, inflation, I mean, we can go over a lot of different issues that Americans are struggling with right now, where would you tell them to focus or shift their attention and how to communicate with the American people?
Well, I mean, not just them, any politician, my advice would probably be, I'd probably be fired the next day, because I'd say, start with the truth, start with some real honesty, start with some bad news, you know, instead of telling everyone that everything's fine, you know, and we're fixing everything and this, that, whatever. And whenever there is a problem, you blame it on the previous administration. I mean, that's just no accountability, no leadership. So my advice would be simple. Like, why don't you just keep it real? You messed up on the border. Here's how we're going to fix it. You know, Americans, we can take bad news. We just can't take, you know, fake news and trying to, like, talk slick and trick us when you're not good at it. You know, whenever President Biden goes on a rift, it usually hurts him horribly. So, you know, and Kamala's not much better. I mean, whenever she's asked a question, she, you know, typically is, I don't think she's a particularly good liar, because she always struggles with an answer. Just answer the question. You know, you go a lot further with Americans if you just answer the question. Might not be what they want to hear, but at least they'll say, like, hey, they shoot straight. And, you know, right now they're just, this administration, they literally, one speaks, then some staffer comes on and tells us what we heard was wrong and this is what they really meant. I mean, it's just constant. And it's over even the littlest things. You know, just giving a consistent answer on the plan with the federal government and the CDC, good luck. You know, it's just, it's very frustrating.
Yeah, I agree with you. One of the biggest issues right now that the Biden administration is focusing on is election reform. They want to federalize the election process. President Biden went to Georgia, gave a huge speech. That's what everybody kept saying leading up to it. I feel like you should call it a huge speech after the speech when you've heard it and you've made that assessment. But I felt like it was important for America, probably dictated from the administration, to know that there was a big speech coming in Georgia. And even Democrats are out there right now saying this is a bit heavy-handed and his rhetoric isn't necessarily helpful to the issue. Do you think that he's going to have a win here? He hasn't had a win on many of his other issues.
No. You know, the same adult in the room, Senator, I would say his name wrong. Was it Munchin?
Manchin?
Manchin, there we go. He said the same thing. Like, nope, not going for this. So, you know, and you need 10 Republicans and you need all Democrats. And I'm pretty sure he's going to be 11 votes short. That's my guesstimate. I'm not a betting man, but I feel like the number 11, possibly 12, votes short on this one. So, like I said, when you look at it, though, I think the speech was for his progressive base that he's catering to, knowing full well he's an intelligent man. He wouldn't be the president of the United States. He wouldn't have the career he's had if he wasn't an intelligent man. So he knows good full and well that the speech was basically said for those who were literally lip syncing his speech, but the rest of America was like, "What are we? What? We're worried about this right now?" Like, I just, there was a record number of voters in this last election, so I don't really see how you're. I mean, just say what you want to say. Just say you want to keep mail-in ballot voting for everyone, and just say that. Just say that the system works better for us if everyone can mail in vote.
You know,
just say it.
Just honesty is in short supply these days, for sure. We're speaking with Fox News contributor Tyrus. When you look at the issues that are facing the average American people, certainly in Virginia, education was a huge part of motivating people to go out and put a Republican in the governor's office in a blue state. Everybody is predicting some massive red wave for November. I do feel like Republicans could get a little too excited and take that for granted a little too much, and not actually give people a reason to vote for them. Do you feel like there is a political party out there making a case for a change with actual policy suggestions, or do you feel like it's all politics right now?
It's just the Republicans have an opportunity to get things back in order. Now, whether they're willing to do it or not, that's another thing. It's like, you know, it's like the rap song. We can give it to you, but what you're going to do with it? You know, you get the House back, you get the Senate back, and then what are you going to do with it? Or are you going to do much of the same? Are you going to start listening to your extremes and your lobbyists and putting things off? You know, because Republicans, we've dropped the ball, you know, with health care instead of just being straight talk and saying, listen, we don't want national health care. We don't want universal health care. So we don't have a plan for it. But they were convinced by saying they had a plan for it, it was going to help them with the voters. And when it came down to it, there wasn't one.
Yeah.
So, you know, we see it on both sides. And you just really, but you're hoping because the stakes now were before, when mistakes were made, it was first world problems. But now we're seeing real problems. You know, the supply chain. I'm going to a car dealership and it basically looks like a parking lot.
Yeah.
You know, so we got some real issues, some real life things happening for the first time in a really long time in this country. So I'm interested to see what politicians are going to maybe not do the interviews on TV and get to work and maybe make some tough decisions that aren't always popular and some hard truths, what's better for their constituent. It might even cost them an election. It's See, that's why when people ask me if I had ever run for office, it would be like, I'm going to do what I think is best, and I'm not going to worry about being reelected. Because most of the time, if you do your job, there's going to be people angry at you.
Sure. That's for sure. You know, someone who has never shied away from the thought of running for office is Hillary Clinton. And I personally, as somebody who has to curate stuff to talk about every day, I really try to sniff out the stories that I feel like somebody really wants me to talk about. Because if they're trying to make some buzz around a specific issue and use my voice to do it, I just don't really prefer to talk about those stories. And I can't decide yet where the Hillary Clinton for 2024 story is coming from. Is it coming from Hillary? Is it coming from Democrats? Is it coming from the media? Do you think it's a serious story right now?
Yeah, actually, to just full disclosure, it's coming from me. I said it on Gutfield, I think it was 3 weeks ago.
We have the source.
She just cried on national TV. She has been a stoic, you know, unemotional, you know, warrior. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden she's crying. And I said, next will come the divorce from Bill. Ooh. And then she will be running again because she's being vulnerable now. She's got a new publicist who says, they need to see you cry. They need to see you emotional. That's what Americans get behind. And all, lo and behold, all of a sudden, when she read her speech or what the speech she was going to read when she was inducted, and I said, oh, she's running again. And Greg was like, no. I said, she's crying on TV. Hillary don't cry on TV. She don't cry for nobody. You know what I'm saying? So she got a better chance of getting Donald Trump to cry, President Trump to cry on TV than you would Hillary. So she's crying for a reason, because she's running again, period. And she's like, oh, you know, watch out from the progressives and the woke. They're doing too much. She's saying all the right things. She's seeing the lay of the land. So I think we're going to see a big rematch, Trump and Hillary, too.
Oh, you know, man. Really, get the Tums.
You know? I'm calling it now.
So Tyrus, you're a competitor. I suspect, you know, you obviously compete in wrestling, but I suspect that you probably have an internal competitive nature that you've had to learn to contain, which I also have. Is that a true statement? Are you super competitive?
Yeah, I'm always competitive. Everything with me is about a competition. I literally even time how long I take in the grocery market opposed to other people when they walk in with me. I'll be like, I don't want to get beat there.
And, suckers!
Yeah.
It's like
the dad on The Christmas Story. Time! You know, that's like flat tire. Like, that's exactly who I am.
So if you're somebody who is competitive, Hillary Clinton has to be, you know, like a certifiable case of competitive nature. Are you, you point out how she's not crying for anybody. There's no way that if I lose at something, I'm going to go in front of the world and read the speech that I would have given if I wouldn't have lost, unless I thought it would help me win again. So you're
because it shows that she was humbled, because one of the things that was said about her, she was out of touch, she was cold, not likable. So what makes people like you more? What can people not stand? Is somebody crying, especially... And, you know, especially, you know, and I know we live in an age now where we can't say these things, but nobody wants to see a woman cry. No one enjoys that. You know, I don't care who you are. You don't want to see anybody cry. So yeah. When someone does that and she puts herself out there, I said, you know, I honestly had to tip my cap to her. I was like, that's how you get back in the game.
Bold move.
She knows that there's Kamala is not a threat at all. You know, Who's going to run for the Democratic Party? With the progressives have become the dominant force, and the Bernie Sanders, and that they work for about as much as the QAnon groups and the extreme rights. They have a following, but not a big enough following to make noise. So all they do is threaten to hurt the mainstream Republicans and conservative Republicans by not voting or voting another way. You know, so that's how they kind of get their stuff going. So I'm hoping that we don't, you know, have to see that as much. And it's wide open for Hillary. And like I said, with the defund the police, with the attacking parents in the school systems, with inflation, with a back order if you wanted to get a new tire for your car, or, you know, or if you needed a test, you go back to work.
Mm-hmm.
So it's literally written for a strong, moderate Democrat to get in the game. And kind of for their side and our side, Republican side, I mean, Trump still has to clean up some of the things. It's not going to be as easy as everyone thinks it is. I think there'll be some opposition because you know they're going to use the narrative of January 6th. And, of course, they'll bring back the taxes and they'll try to get him to fall in the same traps that hurt him in the last election. So it's going to be a very interesting, almost a fight between the two for what they feel is the pulse of America. But Americans are just are fed up right now, and I don't see the Democrats doing anything. And there's, and honestly, who would want to run against President Trump other than Hillary?
More than Hillary.
I mean, who? I mean, she's. Yeah. I mean, you can say what you want about her, but she's a fighter.
Yeah.
And she fought so hard that when he fought Biden, people felt, and I was the one on TV saying, "Stop fighting Biden. You cannot beat Biden that way. Nobody wants to see an old guy who can't fight anymore getting hit." You know, mm-hmm. And when you think about his family life and his service and stuff, and he's up until this administration, he was generally liked by both sides of the aisle. And now his inability to take control of his own party and fall to the wills of the progressives and the fringe of the Democratic Party with these ridiculous policies, I don't think he can come back from it. He knows it.
So, Tyrus, last question before I let you go. Hillary, you say she's running again. Can she win?
I got a steak dinner on it. Can she win? Sure.
Ah, crap.
honestly, if you think about if it wasn't for the situation with the FBI and Comey,
mm-hmm.
Her own deplorables and things like that, it was looking like it was the polls were indicating that she was probably going to win.
Yeah.
I mean, but it was the same thing with Barack Obama when she ran against Barack, you know, when she started a lot of that stuff, people were really turned off by how dirty she played. You know, she fights below the belt. She's a fighter. There's no question. You can't take that away from her.
Yeah, that's for sure.
So I don't see anyone else opposing her. Who are you going to go with? You thought it was Kamala Harris, but America, I mean, unless something happens in the next 2 years dramatically to where she can turn this around, it's just, they're just so deep with the progressives. It would be the same problem with if Republicans got caught up with, you know, the QAnon stuff to the point where like all their policies were being pushed by them. You'd be like, what are you doing? You're giving it away. And that's what Democrats have done. So I don't see them turning around because that would mean being the adult in the room and saying, listen, we're getting back to basics. We're going to get our police force back together. We're going to support them. We're going to, you know, do things to protect them. If we need to add a different division to help with the streets, if we're going to start getting back in our neighborhoods with neighborhood watch programs and things like that, and, you know, mental health facilities, there's a ton of stuff that could be done unilaterally, but you have to be accountable, and this administration is anything but that.
Tyrus, it's always a pleasure to speak with you. You've called your shot. You did it a few weeks ago on Gutfeld. Glad you did it here as well, and we will say you told us so in a couple years, I guess, when we find out for sure about Hillary Clinton. Thanks.
Get your glass ceiling t-shirts now.
Oh, man, you just get them out of the drawer, I suppose. Thanks for being with us, Cyrus. We'll talk to you again next week.
Always a pleasure.
Bye. Yeah, ladies, put your heels on. There's glass everywhere. Barf. I'm sorry, but as a lady, stop it. Just stop. Please stop. Plus, I'm over heels. That's an interesting thought. Not to gloss over what he said there. First the tears, then she divorces Bill Clinton. I mean, I'm surprised she's still married to him. Would Hillary Clinton divorce Bill Clinton for politics?
Yes.
Yes, in a second. Man, if that happens, I'm going to have Tyrus on
immediately.
An extra segment just so he can tell us what else is going to happen here in the future. All right, stick around. A lot of people on the live chat. We appreciate each and every one of you that is there. You can join us on Facebook, facebook.com/AnnieFryShow, or the Annie Fry YouTube channel to participate in live chat, Twitch as well. And if you just want to watch, Twitter, Getter, Rumble, we're there too. So stick around. We're Annie Fry Show in a minute.
This is the Annie Fry Show. Interact with Annie on Facebook. The Annie Fry Show.
one spot, now she found her a replacement.
So, yes, there are parallels there. Perhaps the president went a little too far in his rhetoric. Some of us do. But the fundamental principles and values at stake are very, very similar.
So that's Senator Dick Durbin. That's my senator. Saying that President Biden went a little too far in his rhetoric. Some of us do. Ironically, they impeached Donald Trump over air quotes going too far in his rhetoric. Do you remember when we were watching the impeachment in January of 2021? That was quite a month. This January has been pleasantly calm, comparatively speaking. And yeah, we have a resurgence of a pandemic, but the bar was set pretty high. Do you remember in the impeachment trial how they played? It was like 25 minutes of clips. First, they played Trump talking and saying, you know, we got to fight like hell and all this stuff. And then the defense of Trump played 25 minutes of Democrats using inflammatory rhetoric. I mean, it's what's how they talk. It's what they'd say. And interesting to hear Senator Dick Durbin actually say that President Biden has used inflammatory rhetoric in this situation. I don't really know how I feel like I know what this administration is doing right now, which is, you know, keeping the jig up so that we can make sure that we continue the status quo. And the status quo is division. The status quo is making sure that you and I disagree with one another and know that we're apart from one another. That is like the priority in our life, to make sure that that stays the same. But I don't know how it ends. I don't know how we move from where we are right now into the next phase. And if the next phase is supposed to be an improvement, you know, for us, not for the politicians, for us, because we have different interests, don't we? Does the way we talk to each other, does the way we associate with each other get better? Or does it get worse? Can it get worse? I think it can. I mean, if you've been to a Christmas party, if you've been to a birthday party, if you've not gone to a Christmas party or a birthday party, because the politics of the people who normally you would be celebrating another year of life of this person's existence, if you can think of an instance or a group of people where you've like, you know, I just don't think I really want to go to that. Or maybe you weren't invited, or maybe you didn't invite somebody else, or maybe you invited them, but you hope they didn't come and they didn't. I mean, has that happened? And do you want it to stay that way? It's not a healthy way to live our lives. And if we're going to waste the time that we have to put one foot in front of another on this earth, prioritizing the differences that we have politically over the celebrations of one another for things that have nothing to do with politics. That's just, I mean, you think about that, that's incredibly tragic. That is a really, really sad story. Do you think, Brad, that there is a situation in front of us right now? Is there anything that points you to this getting better?
No. No. I don't see anything that says stuff is going to get better. Maybe, I don't know. I mean, Jesus coming back.
Okay. So the return of Christ. I mean, I'm all for it. Come Lord Jesus. Pray that prayer on a regular basis. We really have a lot more power than it feels like. As a collective, we really have the ability to control the conversation and the narrative and choose. Okay, let me put it to you this way, in the language that I understand, and you probably speak this language as well. Parents, grandparents out there, people who take care of kids. Kids do things to get attention. Honestly, pretty much everything they do is to get attention. They, you know, do a worksheet at school and they bring it home and they want to show it to you because they want affection for what they accomplished on that worksheet. They color a piece of paper. They want you to tell them how great it is. That's your job as a parent, is to provide that love and affection. when you pay attention to what politicians are doing, how much of what they're doing is for attention? There's a time in a kid's life where you have to start balancing the expectation for attention and affection with the reality, and you swap the constant spoon-fed attention that, like, right now I'm giving Molly, like, it's my life goal to make her smile, and she smiles, and then I clap for her. She smiled, and I am really excited about it. You can't take that away from me, people. That's just the way it is. She's a baby. She's 7 months old. Then they get a little bit older, and then they start doing things to get attention and to demand your attention, even when they don't have the right to your attention, and you make a choice. Do I give them this attention or do I not give them this attention? Then they get in middle school and they start acting out in ways to get your attention. They don't even care if it's positive attention. They just want you to look at them and pay attention to them. And you have to figure out, how do you do that? Parents these days have a lot of different ways of reacting to that. What you have to do as a parent, and I mean, honestly, internally, this sucks. This is hard. What you have to do as a parent is teach them to not want your affection and not want your attention. To teach them to understand how to live their lives so that they contribute, so that they are independent, so that they accomplish things, and that they are motivated to accomplish the next thing without a shoulder rub and a trophy. The entire purpose of parenting is to teach your kids how to not need you. And that is, I will admit, a heartbreaking endeavor as I move through this parenting thing with my oldest being 12 and just seeing, you know, all of the steps towards independence. Those steps towards independence, which is my job as a parent to make them a responsible, independent adult. Every step they take towards that is a step away from me. Now, it's selfish for me to keep them from stepping away from me. For me, that's not good for them. That's what's good for me. And acknowledging that is a very difficult but imperative process. Somewhere around the time that they're maybe, what, five or three, maybe between three and six, you have to learn to teach those kids to break away from the idea that they can throw themselves on the floor and command your attention like you're a remote control car toy. And what you have to do is pretty much, in some cases, say, all right, you can behave like that. You're going to do it over there. Let me know when you're done. When you're ready to behave the way you're supposed to in my presence, you can come back. That's the way you need to act right now. You go act like that, but it's not welcome here. It's time we treat these people who are not invested in the what's best for us, our independence, like that, and say, you can go have your fit over there, Adam Kinzinger. I'm just picking a name. Random. You can go have your fit over there. But we're creating an independent and we're harnessing and facilitating an independent relationship here where I don't need you, government, to tell me how good I'm doing. I'll take care of it myself. I might trip and fall sometimes. I'll get back up. We need to create that separation once again where we're not constantly looking at the government to say, how are we doing? Should we be doing better? What can you do to help me? I need you to help me get to here because my neighbor over there is at this level and I'm not quite there yet. You need to put me there so that it's fair and equitable. That's what children say. And that's what grown children say when their parents do not remind them of the importance of that distance. And I have to tell you, folks, you're the parent. They're the child. Time to create some of that distance. It's time to create some of that separation once again. If they want to throw fits, if they want to call you names, if they want to tell you, you're the worst mom ever, then they can say that. It doesn't matter because I'm confident enough to know that even though you're yelling and screaming at me right now, this is what's best for you. And this is a top-down process. Don't forget your position in that pyramid of power and authority in the United States of America, you are on the top, and you need to make sure that you retain that spot. You're on top. And if you let them think that they are, they will run you over like a spoiled, rotten, brat teenager. You all know one. Just don't raise them. You're not raising them that way. I know that. Right? Stick around. More Annie Fry Show in a minute.
This is The Annie Fry Show. Interact with Annie on Facebook. The Annie Fry Show.
So, yes, there are parallels there. Perhaps the president went a little too far in his rhetoric. Some of us do. But the fundamental principles and values at stake are very, very similar.
So that's Senator Dick Durbin. That's my senator. Saying that President Biden went a little too far in his rhetoric. Some of us do. Ironically, they impeached Donald Trump over air quotes going too far in his rhetoric. Do you remember when we were watching the impeachment in January of 2021? That was quite a month. This January has been pleasantly calm, comparatively speaking. And yeah, we have a resurgence of a pandemic, but the bar was set pretty high. Do you remember in the impeachment trial how they played? It was like 25 minutes of clips. First, they played Trump talking and saying, you know, we got to fight like hell and all this stuff. And then the defense of Trump played 25 minutes of Democrats using inflammatory rhetoric. I mean, it's how they talk. It's what they'd say. And interesting to hear Senator Dick Durbin actually say that President Biden has used inflammatory rhetoric in this situation. I don't really know how I feel like I know what this administration is doing right now, which is, you know, keeping the jig up so that we can make sure that we continue the status quo. And the status quo is division. The status quo is making sure that you and I disagree with one another and know that we're apart from one another. That is like the priority in our life, to make sure that that stays the same. But I don't know how it ends. I don't know how we move from where we are right now into the next phase. And if the next phase is supposed to be an improvement, you know, for us, not for the politicians, for us, because we have different interests, don't we? Does the way we talk to each other, does the way we associate with each other get better? Or does it get worse? Can it get worse? I think it can. I mean, if you've been to a Christmas party, if you've been to a birthday party, if you've not gone to a Christmas party or a birthday party, because the politics of the people who normally you would be celebrating another year of life of this person's existence, if you can think of an instance or a group of people where you've like, you know, I just don't think I really want to go to that. Or maybe you weren't invited, or maybe you didn't invite somebody else, or maybe you invited them, but you hope they didn't come and they didn't. I mean, has that happened? And do you want it to stay that way? It's not a healthy way to live our lives. And if we're going to waste the time that we have to put one foot in front of another on this earth, prioritizing the differences that we have politically over the celebrations of one another for things that have nothing to do with politics. That's just, I mean, you think about that, that's incredibly tragic. That is a really, really sad story. Do you think, Brad, that there is a situation in front of us right now? Is there anything that points you to this getting better?
No. No. I don't see anything that says stuff is going to get better. Maybe, I don't know. I mean, Jesus coming back.
Okay, so the return of Christ. I mean, I'm all for it. Come, Lord Jesus. Pray that prayer on a regular basis. I don't... We really have a lot more power than it feels like. As a collective, we really have the ability to control the conversation and the narrative and choose... Okay, let me put it to you this way. In the language that I understand, and you probably speak this language as well, parents, grandparents out there, people who take care of kids. Kids do things to get attention. Honestly, pretty much everything they do is to mm-hmm. get attention. They, you know, do a worksheet at school and they bring it home and they want to show it to you because they want affection for what they accomplished on that worksheet. They color a piece of paper. They want you to tell them how great it is. That's your job as a parent, is to provide that love and affection. When you pay attention to what politicians are doing, how much of what they're doing is for attention? There's a time in a kid's life where you have to start balancing the expectation for attention and affection with a reality, and you swap the constant spoon-fed attention that, like, right now I'm giving Molly, like, it's my life goal to make her smile, and she smiles, and then I clap for her. She smiled, and I am really excited about it. You can't take that away from me, people. That's just the way it is. She's a baby. She's 7 months old. Then they get a little bit older, and then they start doing things to get attention and to demand your attention, even when they don't have the right to your attention, and you make a choice. Do I give them this attention or do I not give them this attention? Then they get in middle school and they start acting out in ways to get your attention. They don't even care if it's positive attention. They just want you to look at them and pay attention to them. And you have to figure out, how do you do that? Parents these days have a lot of different ways of reacting to that. What you have to do as a parent, and I mean, honestly, internally, this sucks. This is hard. What you have to do as a parent is teach them to not want your affection and not want your attention. To teach them to understand how to live their lives so that they contribute, so that they are independent, so that they accomplish things, and that they are motivated to accomplish the next thing without a shoulder rub and a trophy. The entire purpose of parenting is to teach your kids how to not need you. And that is, I will admit, a heartbreaking endeavor as I move through this parenting thing with my oldest being 12 and just seeing, you know, all of the steps towards independence. Those steps towards independence, which is my job as a parent to make them a responsible, independent adult. Every step they take towards that is a step away from me. Now, it's selfish for me to keep them from stepping away from me. For me, that's not good for them. That's what's good for me. And acknowledging that is a very difficult but imperative process. Somewhere around the time that they're maybe, what, five or... three, maybe between three and six, you have to learn to teach those kids to break away from the idea that they can throw themselves on the floor and command your attention like you're a remote control car toy. And what you have to do is pretty much, in some cases, say, all right, you can behave like that. You're going to do it over there. Let me know when you're done. When you're ready to behave the way you're supposed to in my presence, you can come back. That's the way you need to act right now. You go act like that, but it's not welcome here. It's time we treat these people who are not invested in the what's best for us, our independence, like that and say, you can go have your fit over there, Adam Kinzinger. I'm just picking a name. Random. You can go have your fit over there. But we're creating an independent and we're harnessing and facilitating an independent relationship here where I don't need you, government, to tell me how good I'm doing. I'll take care of it myself. I might trip and fall sometimes. I'll get back up. We need to create that separation once again, where we're not constantly looking at the government to say, how are we doing? Should we be doing better? What can you do to help me? I need you to help me get to here because my neighbor over there is at this level and I'm not quite there yet. You need to put me there so that it's fair and equitable. That's what children say. And that's what grown children say when their parents do not remind them of the importance of that distance. And I have to tell you, folks, you're the parent. They're the child. Time to create some of that distance. It's time to create some of that separation once again. If they want to throw fits, if they want to call you names, if they want to tell you, you're the worst mom ever, then they can say that. It doesn't matter because I'm confident enough to know that even though you're yelling and screaming at me right now, this is what's best for you. And this is a top-down process. Don't forget your position in that pyramid of power and authority in the United States of America. You are on the top, and you need to make sure that you retain that spot. You're on top. And if you let them think that they are, they will run you over like a spoiled, rotten, brat teenager. You all know one. Just don't raise them. You're not raising them that way. I know that. Right? Stick around. More Annie Fry Show in a minute.
This is the Annie Fry Show. Find the podcast, on-demand audio, and more at 971talk.com/Annie. The Mark Reardon Show.
Major universities across America are being sued over antitrust violations.
How about a class action from all the students across America who did not get the value of their education for the past 2 years?
Weekdays from 3 to 6.
I'm Dr. Nick Barnes at Health From Within Family Chiropractic in Rock Hill. At Health From Within, our mission is to transform the way you manage your health by bringing you the truth about health and healing. We use proven techniques to remove interference in the nervous system and maximize health naturally, without drugs or surgery. Connect with me at healthfromwithinstl.com and join me for Maximize Living on this station every Sunday at 8 a.m. or download the Maximize Living podcast, healthfromwithinstl.com.
Need more living space to enjoy every moment you spend at home? Time to call Lakeside Renovation and Design. Whether you want a luxurious bathroom, an updated kitchen with tons of counter space, a finished basement, or a bump-out addition, Lakeside does it all. We don't subcontract, and we guarantee our work with a lifetime workmanship warranty, so you can rest assured you get the home interior of your dreams. Request a free consultation at 636-978-5000. That's 636-978-5000. You'll love your home all over again.
Hi, guys. It's Andrew with Pineview Medical Clinic. Are you struggling with erectile dysfunction and sick of the pills? Well, we have a major medical advancement that has helped thousands of men. The WAVE technology at Pineview Medical Clinic was tested by Cambridge University and the Cleveland Clinic, and the results are in. It's proven to increase blood flow by repairing blood vessels. No pills and no side effects. If you're ready to put a stop to your ED by treating the root cause, call us now, and not only will the assessment and blood flow ultrasound be free, we'll also include something unique that produces powerful and instant results in the bedroom. I don't think I've ever seen it fail. This is a $600 value, free to those that call in the next 2 minutes. 314-530-7777. That's 314-530-7777. Guys, put a stop to your erectile dysfunction and get your love life back. Call Pineview Medical Clinic now to qualify. 314-530-7777.
At Closet Factory, our designs are as unique as your needs. Let us create the closet or storage system of your dreams. I'm Cassie Alsbach from Closet Factory. We're a family-owned business and the most trusted custom closet provider in St. Louis. We offer an unlimited product range to fit any area of your home. At Closet Factory, we help organize your life with custom storage that's designed and built around you. Go to closetfactory.com or call us at 314 314- 961-4300 to schedule your free design consultation and explore the art of organization.
Let's start off a new year with a new coat of paint. This is Mark Reardon for CertaPro Painters, and let's make 2022 the year you transform your home or business with some new colors and expert professional painting. CertaPro can make it happen, and the quality of the work will blow you away. One of my favorite parts of hiring CertaPro is I don't have to do the painting myself. These are professional painters. They can help you bring your vision of color to life. Get started today with a free estimate at CertaPro.com. That's Certa with a C. Each CertaPro Painter's business is independently owned and operated. CertaPro Painters.
You're listening to the Annie Fry Show live from the Air Comfort Service Heating and Cooling Studio. Get in your comfort zone with a new heating system this winter. You could get 0% financing for up to 72 months on qualifying new HVAC systems. For free details and a free estimate, visit aircomfortservice.com.
Back in the car and back on the road, we're with you. Dependable Traffic with Sue Thomas. Driven by Ambassador Midwest Floor Company. The best way to deal with in-home traffic. Experience more at Ambassador Midwest Floor.
I'm gonna fight them all. A seven nation army couldn't hold me back. They're gonna rip it off, taking their time right behind my back. And I'm talking to myself at night because I can't forget. Back and forth through my mind behind a cigarette. And the message coming from my eyes saying, leave it alone.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. It's kind of a funny song. I love that. That's the Oak Ridge Boys doing Seven Nation Army. Is that what it's called? I think that's what it's called.
Yeah.
So funny. Some significant news here in the vaccine mandate arena. The Supreme Court has ruled on that case that was heard there right before with Eric Schmidt arguing as well. And I'm going to play this for you here. Let's pull this up here on Brad, and let's listen into the Fox News report.
Peter, what's being said there at the White House this afternoon?
We expect in about 15 minutes to get official reaction from Jen Psaki. You know, the White House and senior officials say, or they use as an excuse not to talk about stuff like this. Well, we don't want to talk about a Supreme Court decision before it has been made. Well, it's been made, so we expect that they cannot use that as an out to not talk about it here in about 15 or 20 minutes. But remember, this is a White House where even as courts along the way were blocking the mandate on their way to this point, the White House was telling businesses just to enforce it anyway. And when challenged, officials around here say, well, doesn't really matter that much about the OSHA rule ultimately because a lot of businesses are doing this anyway. And so it'll be interesting to hear the way that the White House talks about what is next, especially because Joe Biden this morning, while he was giving an update on the COVID-19 response, was saying that he thinks the most important thing that the administration can do right now is to promote vaccines. But they are now, because of Omicron and because of breakthrough infections, starting to focus more on things like testing. And for the first time now, 2 years into the pandemic, they're going to send N95 masks to Americans that want them. So they are moving already a little bit away from vaccines for the first time, to testing, to masking. But they still think it is the number one pandemic fighter. And so now that the Supreme Court has ruled like this mixed ruling, they have some communications challenges to straighten out exactly what they want people to do. John.
Yeah, and this is two big blows for the president in just, you know, the last hour. He gets this ruling from the Supreme Court after going up to Capitol Hill and finding that he didn't have the Democratic votes to push ahead with the voting rights bill either. So
yeah, you thought he sounded angry there leaving that meeting. Well, he just got
All right. Well, maybe we'll hear from the White House in just a little bit. We'll see. Peter Ducey, our man at the White House. Peter, thank you.
So Peter Ducey there weighing in on this pretty crazy development here. I don't know that I don't really expect anything good to happen ever. And that makes me sound like a sad person. I'm not really sad about it. I actually feel pretty good about it. I have optimism about my realism. I call myself a realist, not a pessimist, which is probably what a pessimist calls themselves, a realist. This ruling now from the Supreme Court coming in on that vaccine mandate that was just argued. So here I'm going to read from you the Fox News report on what actually here has taken place. And this is just brand new coming in. So if you're hearing this now, this is brand new news. This is from Fox Business. Supreme Court blocks Biden OSHA vaccine mandate, allows rule for healthcare workers. The Supreme Court on Thursday issued mixed rulings in a pair of cases challenging Biden administration vaccine mandates, allowing the requirement for certain healthcare workers to go into effect while blocking enforcement of a mandate for businesses with 100 or more employees. The latter, an Occupational Safety and Health Administration, OSHA, rule that took effect on Monday said that businesses with at least 100 employees needed to require workers to get vaccinated or get tested weekly and wear a mask. Supreme Court says no. Brad, are you surprised by this? I'm always surprised that it went the way it should go.
No, I mean, honestly, if we have what? There's a 6-3 conservative or constitutionalist majority on that court, supposedly. There's at least a 5-4 constitutionalist majority. So I can see why they would say, you've got to go through the proper channels to do this. So I'm like surprised, but in a good way. Like, oh, thank goodness they're still like reading the Constitution and acting the way they should be and ruling as they should be. They're not ruling. Like the one thing that kind of got me upset is whenever I was listening to some of the audio of the oral arguments of the justices, when the justices are bringing up how bad the pandemic is, that is not a justification for overruling Constitution. The question is does OSHA have the authority? It's not how bad does things have to get before we allow OSHA to have this special authority. The question is, what authority does OSHA have? And so I'm very happy that they ruled on that.
We're going to maybe try to connect with someone to weigh in on this from an expert level. As much as I feel like I'm an expert on things, this isn't one of them. Supreme Court challenges. This is a really big deal. We're going to be speaking with Eric Schmidt tomorrow, which I'm very excited to discuss with him. We had other things planned. Make sure you weigh in and say, can you please do a little victory, you know, yay rah on our show? I don't know if maybe you can come on at 2:10 today. We'll take him. I'm very excited. The Supreme Court blocking this Biden OSHA vaccine mandate. Listen, folks, Biden is getting knocked down at every turn. Big government lost today, at least in this regard. I don't know how you feel about the healthcare workers, the separation of that between healthcare worker mandates compared to companies with 100 employees or more. That lost. It is very, very, very encouraging to do so. And if you want to know how else President Biden has lost today, here's Kyrsten Sinema. Listen to this. Oh, you got to turn my sound up. Brad.
Pass legislation. Standing support for the 60-vote threshold to pass legislation. And there's no need for me to restate its role protecting our country from wild reversals in federal policy. It is a view I've held during my years serving in both the U.S. House and the Senate. And it is the view I continue to hold. It is the belief that I have shared many times in public settings and in private settings.
She's doubling down on the filibuster, folks. She's saying she's a no. She's not voting to get rid of it. This is not even Joe Manchin. If you heard Tyrus earlier, if you didn't, you can check it out on the Annie Fry Show podcast, available on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast from. You can hear Tyrus there. Or you can rewind us on the Odyssey app, which is kind of a cool feature if you listen to us there. He said he thinks that it would, if they put this to a vote, it's going to be a 10 or an 11. He said maybe even 12-vote deficit. I got to tell you right now, if you're a Democrat in the Senate, Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema have had some major proverbial cojones on this issue, being willing to be out there, be out front and speak on this issue and say no. This is not what the Senate is for. We spoke with Roy Blunt yesterday, and he explained that as well. You can hear that on the podcast. As a senator, he has talked about the importance of the Senate not functioning the same way, the chaos of the House. It's designed differently. Our forefathers were pretty smart dudes. Quote me. the Senate is designed the way the Senate is designed purposely.
Mm-hmm.
And Senators Manchin and Sinema have recognized that. I don't think they're the only ones. I think there are a lot of Democrats, who, I don't know about a lot, but definitely more than two, that exist in the Senate who know the perilous journey that removing the filibuster would send the Senate down. And they know what's coming in November of 2022, and they fear what could be coming in 2024. And I'm telling you right now that those senators that you choose to elect in November of 2022, yes, one in Missouri, yes, one in Illinois, send Tammy Duckworth packing. Why is nobody talking about this? Nobody's talking about it. Those people who you put in office in 2022, both in Missouri and Illinois, they would be there for the entirety of Ron DeSantis' presidency. I'm just throwing it out there. I'm just keep putting it out there and praying on it and hoping on it. Or Trump's presidency, or God forbid, Hillary Clinton's presidency. Mm-hmm. I mean, all of those names make me want to make sure that we do the right thing right now. 6-year terms. I almost said sentences. Maybe the same thing. Depends on which side of the...
Is it a sentence, though, if you're, like, volunteering for it? I'll do it.
With my senators in my state, it feels like a sentence. Life. You've been given life. This is the way it is. This is a little bit of a slip there. Supreme Court blocks Biden OSHA vaccine mandate, allows a rule for healthcare workers. That's quite something.
That's huge.
Big news on a 50-degree Thursday afternoon here in St. Louis. Dude, snow's coming.
I'm super excited about that, too.
Let's just talk about all the good things right now. What do you got?
So
you look like you want to say something.
Well, no, I was just watching our time here. I was going to let you know we got 1 minute left. But, yeah, I'm excited about the snow. I'm going to say it because I said it off air. I'll say it on air. I want to go do donuts in my church parking lot.
I can't wait for the snow to come, and then I'm going to sit inside and not do anything. Snow is like the momentary lockdown COVID experience. Mm-hmm. It's going to give me just enough time to remember those days. Were the COVID pandemic, was that the good days? No, it wasn't the good days. But I think if you are like me, you got something back in your life that you may never have experienced before. So if you're going to try to look at something that's horrific and look on the bright side, my bright side is that I got really, really acclimated and encouraged to spend time with my family, and I am A-okay with it. By the way, Hannah picked the music today, and she didn't know that this was the Oak Ridge Boys version, and she said, "What the H is this?" It's the best, Hannah. You're doing great. Stick around. We'll get everybody in here in the 2 o'clock hour, including you. Don't go away.
Get more at 971talk.com.